Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time. Joined now by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side, and Brian joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Brian, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing fantastic, you know, getting ready for week four here.
How about them Bears? They finally won a game.
How about them Bears?
Yeah, and it was impressive. I mean, it was 14-0 before you blinked. It would help, you know, if the Cowboys actually covered one of the receivers. But, you know, I mean, I've never seen four guys more open than what they saw on Sunday, including, you know, the opening one to Roma Dunze, and Luther Burden was wide open, and Cole Kmet, and, I mean, DJ Moore, there was nobody 10 yards near DJ Moore in that last one. So, but regardless, I mean, the offensive line protected and they wiped the Cowboys up pretty good. So it was a good, you know, you want to kind of build upon that, you know, right now.
Given the quality of the competition or the lack thereof, Brian, when you look at the Bears, what is the most sustainable part of what we saw against the Cowboys? What do you think will be able to carry over easiest against the Raiders?
Well, I mean, last week, the Commanders, without Jaden Daniels, ran for over 200 yards against the Raiders. That's still the area of the Bears' offense that, you know, needs to wake up. They need to get better at running the football. They haven't run it very well all year. They didn't run it well against the Cowboys. But I think there's opportunities, you know, to do that against the Raiders. Now, you know, can they protect against Max Crosby and some of those guys as well as it did against the Cowboys? Max is 10 times better than anybody the Cowboys put on the field. So you got to have a game plan for him because he was very active last week. But I think, you know, the protection against the Raiders outside of Max, there's not really anybody that scares you. I think protecting Caleb, and you could tell, like, he's very, very, he's making a very concentrated effort to stay in the pocket and not start running around and scrambling. And so that's what I would look for in week two is, can he make the throws that he made? Albeit they're not going to be as open, but the Raiders break down in the back end just as well. Can he stay there, you know, on that spot behind Drew Dahlman and deliver the ball like he did a week ago? That's what I would look for to see if that could be more sustainable, because that's what Ben Johnson wants. That's what he had in Jared Goff. That's what he would like Caleb to be able to do.
You know, I got to tell you, it was the first time, I think, that this season that we saw the progression of the quarterback. In other words, I think he played better one game to the next, but the third game he ends up as the NFC player of the week. And I don't know if that's legit or not or what, but he had a hell of a game and he's getting rid of the ball and he was not sacked. And if he can continue sort of distributing the ball as quickly as he did, and then they can take their shots when the time comes, man, there could be something special going on in Chicago.
Well, I mean, look, he deserved to be the offensive player of the week. He deserved that. I mean, 300 yards passing, four touchdowns, you know, no turnovers, not sacked. I mean, that's a great day. You know, I mean, you get a game ball, you put that up on your mantle, and, you know, you want to kind of stack that up, you know, another week. But, you know, that's what this league is about. It's not about one great week and winning awards and winning the game. You know, it's about doing it week in, week out. So that's what that's why you become the number one pick in the draft. Matt Stafford, Jared Goff, these guys do this, you know, they do this nearly every single week. And so that's really the task right now. I mean, if he goes and plays poorly or their team plays poorly in Las Vegas this weekend, like that's you're going to forget all about that game against Dallas. So it's about stacking wins and stacking performances. And, you know, we want to see that. I mean, everybody. I mean, look, I want to see it, and I'm not here rooting for one team or the other, but we need great quarterbacks, and we need great young quarterbacks for this league to really sustain itself. And that's what they expect from Caleb. That's how he's being coached. And that's what I want to see this week against the Raiders.
We're talking with Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Brian, so what is it about Max Crosby that allows him to play? I think in the opener he played every snap, and he doesn't come off the field much at all. Meanwhile, you have some pass rushers. We have one here in Chicago that has plays about 60% of the time. And I wonder, does that differentiate him from everybody else when you're talking about Crosby? And is he just – he can stay on the field every snap, and he's still just as hard to block.
He's different than everybody else in the league. He played every snap last week against Washington. He made literally every play in the fourth quarter of that game. I mean, he just turned it up. Like, a couple things. One, he recognizes blocks quicker than anybody, whether it's double teaming or the run game. You try to trap him, like literally they tried to trap him three times in Washington. He was so fast to the quarterback, he almost intercepted the handoff. He was and the trap never had a chance to even get going. And so and they move him around, so it's hard to kind of set the protection to him. But there's nobody else like Max. Nobody plays with that energy level. He's in peak shape. I tell him all the time that he doesn't need to play every snap. Like, play 85% and just be that much better in the 85%, but he doesn't want to hear that. He wants to play every snap. He wants a chance to affect the game every single play. So he's just – nobody else plays the game like him in this entire league right now.
You know, the other thing, I saw some clip of Gronk saying that before he retired, he played against him when he was young, and he, you know, just went up and hit him, and the guy didn't move. Like, he is also in as good a – he's as much of a physical kind of presence as he is able to play. He doesn't just play. He plays like a werewolf. I mean, he just goes absolutely crazy on the field, and that's why, you know, I think the coach said earlier in the week that he can ruin every play. He has that kind of ability. There aren't many guys in the league that can do it as consistently.
You know, he leads the league in tackle for losses over the last 4 years. I nicknamed the Condor his rookie year. He's all arms and legs. He can move. He can bend in any position. He is Gumby. But he takes this game exceedingly serious. I mean, what happened to him is actually pretty interesting. Is during the pandemic, he saw The Last Dance, and he wanted to be Michael Jordan in the NFL. He put a tattoo of Michael on him. He watched every one of those episodes. He wanted to become Michael Jordan. He stopped drinking. He cleaned himself up. Like, he wants to be the Michael Jordan in the NFL. And nobody had better endurance in the history of basketball than Michael Jordan. And that's how he conditions himself.
That's an amazing story. I did not realize that about him. I know he's come a long way from the Mid-American Conference to doing what he does now. But so if you're the Bears and you know all of this and you see it all on tape, it's obvious to he's a game wrecker. He did it against the Commanders, even though it was defeat. What is your plan? How do you drop back on third and long and block Max Crosby?
Well, you've got to have your tight end over there. You got to send it back over there. You can't do these chalkboard protections where you slide the line to the left and you put the back and the tight end on Max. He'll destroy both those guys. But you got to chip him. You got to slow him down on his way to the quarterback. He can bend underneath, you know, Darnell Wright or, you know, Braxton is just as well as anybody in this whole business. We call it a ghost move. He can ghost you as well as anyone. But honestly, all he wants to do is get to the quarterback. And he just wants to get a paw on the quarterback, whether the ball's released or not. He wants Caleb to know that he's there every play. And so you better game plan every single play. If you leave him one-on-one with either one of your tackles right now, he's going to beat him. I mean, it's just that simple. So you better have a plan every single play because he's going to get to Caleb, and he's going to get him on the move and chasing him, and then sometimes bad things can happen when your quarterback is running for his life.
Brian, when you broke down the tape, what did you see from the Bears' offensive line? How much have they improved? They're now playing together. They hadn't played together very much. They've obviously improved the interior. It seemed like Braxton Jones played better last week, and you know, they still have a little bit of a penalty issue going on with Wright on the other side, but for the most part, they had a really good game.
Yeah, they did. And but, you know, honestly, the Cowboys don't have one elite pass rusher, and that's part of it. I mean, it's a problem. It's a problem on that team. Max, when they traded away Micah Parsons, and they're going to see him this week, and he's going to ruin their offense this week. I mean, just watch Sunday night. He's going to ruin that offense. But especially with what they have at tackle right now. But regardless, but I don't want to take anything away from they played better as a group than they had played. They did take a step forward. Like I said, I want those guys to be better in the run game. And you get that by playing together. It's not an individual better performance. It's a group performance. And how you seal the backside and how you take your double teams to the linebacker and how you move the down man before it's really the fundamentals of the game playing together. And I want to see him take a step up because DeAndre Swift is a better running back than what he has shown in the run game right now. And they've got to run the ball better. It's going to make their play action pass game better. It's going to keep them on schedule better. You saw what Detroit running backs did to the Ravens last week. And that's because of how they blocked up front, and that's where they need to get to. So there's still a big jump to make, especially in the running game for this offensive line.
On defense for the Bears, Tremaine Edmonds had two interceptions, 15 tackles, and probably his best game as a Bear. And, Brian, I know that there are a lot of reasons for that, maybe against the Cowboys, et cetera, but we've been waiting in Chicago for Tremaine Edmonds to have a game like that for a couple seasons. Why do you think it's taken this long for him to have a game like that? And how much confidence do you have that he can have similar type efforts moving forward?
Well, I mean, his length alone, just his length in the middle of the field, it's hard to layer footballs over his head. If he's getting his depth in his drops and he's in zone coverage like they like to play and he's reading the quarterback's eyes and he's in the passing lane. And that's what he did. And so, you know, nobody was ever better than any of that than Urlacher was in Chicago. So with his length and his ability. So a lot of it is depth to the drops, understanding what's going on behind you. You want to see that. He should have been the defensive player of the week, except Isaiah Rodgers of Minnesota, he took his interceptions and fumbled back for touchdowns. So he got the award. Otherwise, Tremaine would have been that guy. But it's good to see. It's good to see. I mean, I always think of Urlacher and Briggs when you want to think of Chicago defense and the tandem of him and TJ. They should be very, very good as a tandem. They've played a lot of football. They've played a lot of football together right now. Getting TJ, you know, healthy is going to make a difference. But you kind of do things in tandem at the inside linebacker position. It helps that you get protected a little bit better up front from Javon and some of the guys that are playing tackle. You want those guys to be able to run free and just be able to go make tackles like they did last week.
Brian, it was pretty extraordinary watching the Bears last week because I thought that they really did some adjustment to the way that Dennis Allen wants to play. They didn't have the corners that were good enough to hold up in what they were doing. They played more zone than I've seen him play. I'm just curious, when you think about Dak and the way he played, it seemed like they settled for a ton of underneath stuff. The checkdowns to the tight end, I think he had 13 catches in the game, but he didn't really damage the Bears.
Well, you know, you'd rather make a team bleed slowly than what Caleb did to the Cowboys by striking deep on one play or two plays like he did to get up 14-0. So they played from behind, which always kind of changes your outlook and how you're going to call plays. So that helped to jump out to 14-0 lead. But I think you got to play to your strengths. I mean, can Stevenson really hold up, you know, in man-to-man coverage? I mean, these two guys that they have with the Raiders now, I mean, this Dante Thornton can run like the wind. Now, they haven't gotten a ton of balls to him, but that guy can – he runs in the 4-3s. He can fly. And so they're going to try and take their shots. That's the Raiders style. Trey Tucker can fly. Like, maybe it's better to keep things in front of you. Right now, you know, the tight end who was world-class last year, he's playing with a bad knee. He really hasn't gotten going yet this year. He doesn't look like he should even be out there. But you know, if that's what Dennis wants to do, and that's not his style, that's not what he did in New Orleans. He wants to play press coverage and challenge the receivers and challenge the quarterback. But if that keeps everything in front of you and you don't give up the big plays, then that's a good adjustment by him.
What about Ashton Jeanty? What should we expect to see from the rookie who has not had a great start to the season but is still dangerous and respected?
Well, he has not had a great – he had a 16-yard run last week. That's his longest play from scrimmage so far. He's had a hard time getting started. The offensive line – you know, I mean, Montez Sweat should eat that right tackle alive. That's what happened to Washington last week. Von Miller ate him alive. He really struggled. They're struggling. I think he needs a runway. He needs a real opening. I don't think he can just keep dancing like he's doing and finding holes like he did at Boise State. Like, I think he needs a runway the way Saquon Barkley does. He needs holes. And so you've got to play defense on the other side of the line of scrimmage. You got to attack the line of scrimmage. You got to get upfield and make him stutter his feet. And if you do, he doesn't look like he's got the explosive step right now to go get big plays. And so he has not looked good so far. And I'm not saying we're writing an epitaph for him, but that's what you got to do. You got to play defense on the other side of the ball against him.
You mentioned Brock Bowers, the Bears obviously drafted a tight end 10th and a Colston Loveland, and it seems like Cole Kmet has, again, you know, he's not getting a ton of balls thrown to him, but he scored some touchdowns. He's doing a better job blocking. It just feels like they have a couple of good tight ends, and if Loveland is damaged in any way, he's on the injury list, as is Kmet, but Kmet seems much more likely to play.
Well, I mean, I don't know. The Bears drafted Loveland. They could draft Skylar Warren. Warren's killing it in Indianapolis.
Yes.
I didn't think they were close. But that's who they drafted for whatever reason. They're not really dialing up. But even on the touchdown to Cole Kmet, I mean, the Cowboys blew the coverage. They doubled Loveland on the play for some ridiculous reason and left Cole Kmet all alone. So they blew the coverage, and fortunately, Caleb's all right away. But, you know, they run a lot of that YY set, two tight ends, like a lot of teams do right now. And so there's time to, you know, for the development and everything. But he certainly hasn't made the impact that Tyler Warren has made in Indianapolis so far.
Great stuff, Brian. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Brian.
Yep. Enjoy it, guys. Talk to you next week.
That is Brian Baldinger. Always fun to talk to him. And we should let you know that that he is an Odyssey expert. He is one of the great ones, Odyssey NFL Insider, Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Oh, it was so good. It was all so good for the Bears this past Sunday as the Bears beat the Cowboys 31-14. As we welcome you back to the Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern, The place is starting to fill up, getting ready for Nico Horner, who will be here live with us at noon. Jed Hoyer scheduled to join us here live at 1:25. It is the Rahimi, Harris, and Grody show with Matt Spiegel today. A little bit of a show swap. Layla Rahimi will be on the afternoon show today.
A host swap.
A host swap.
The show swap Thursday because it's a full-on show swap. So host swap, and we've established we can't do a wife swap, but as the texter suggests, a pet swap.
Oh, man.
Would you be willing to offer Dave the cat?
I don't know. For which animal? Yeah, for whose animal? I don't want a dog.
It's
got to
be a lower maintenance animal, doesn't it?
There's a reason I have a cat.
Right.
Very, very low maintenance.
A goldfish.
Cats sleep 19 hours a day. I only have to do so little with my cat. So I would require a pet that only requires about 4 to 5 hours of maintenance throughout the day, and that includes hanging out.
I think we're this awkward, though, because like I don't think Lawrence has a pet. And I'm the only, I don't have a pet,
I
do have a wife. So then we're talking about a wife for pets.
I can throw in a plant.
Oh, yeah. So a plant?
Plant, yeah.
All right, I'll do a plant swap with you.
The last time I took care of somebody's plant, the plant died. I didn't do a good job.
That's not
I wouldn't
good.
Trust
apparently
you.
There's something called overwatering plants.
You thought you were doing a good job, right?
I thought so. Yeah, I was like, I looked at the plant. Looks like it wanted a little bit more water. I was like, look, I'm the substitute teacher. I am going to give you more water than your owner gives you.
You're like the grandparent who shows up and like gives the kid all the candy.
Right. I was just dumping pitchers of water, apparently.
You flooded the plant?
I have come to know that is not something that you, because apparently the dirt will move up and start to slide off.
Hey, do you guys think that Ben Johnson is flooding Caleb Williams with water?
Yes. Huh? Fire hose.
See that segue right there?
He is flooding the zone. Again, shout out to everybody who's out here. Shout out to our friends at Verizon. We just met Teresa, who actually goes by Mother Teresa. So really good to see her out here. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. So let me take you through my psychological evolution here with Caleb Williams and the performance that was had. The Caleb Williams, 19 of 28 for 298 yards and 4 touchdowns. We all saw it. It was awesome. Hit many, many receivers. It was a beautiful thing. It's the way you want a Bears offense to look. So did all that, did the post game, went on Fox 32 on Sunday night with Lawrence Holmes, was part of the crew, and he was smart enough to put the little caveat in, let's keep in mind that this was a bad Dallas defense. And plenty of people have said that. Guess what? At that moment, I did not want to hear that at all. So I put that away on Bears Victory Monday.
Yeah.
I didn't want to hear any of the caveat. Last night, I got about 12 hours of good sleep. My rational mind.
12 hours?
Yeah. I didn't
That's
feel
amazing.
Well early, and I went to bed, and so I feel good. I feel energized now. But then you start to let it sink in, and you remember past false starts that Bears quarterbacks have had. And I'll just take you through what's at the top of my mind. There was the Jacksonville game last year where Caleb Williams had 4 touchdowns and 1 interception. He was terrific, and a lot of us were saying, well, we know one thing. The Bears have their quarterback. There he is. Bye week, L10. You lose the rest of your games throughout that season. In 2023, the year 2023, Justin Fields, do you guys remember? I think it was a Thursday night game. At Washington, Justin Fields, 4 touchdown passes. I think DJ Moore had a huge game. A 40-20 unexpected victory.
Yeah.
It was crazy because it was one of those deluxe, like, Bears surprises. A lot of us thought, okay, that's what it can look like with Justin Fields. Obviously, it didn't end up looking like that with Justin Fields. And one more example, and maybe there are other examples, but the last one would be the famous Mitch Trubisky game in 2018 at Soldier Field.
Tampa
Bay did not have a secondary. I don't even know if they had enough players in their secondary. But Mitch threw 6 touchdowns. I bought it. You know why? Because I badly wanted to buy it. But they all turned out to be false starts. Is my worry warranted that this could just be the latest false start for the Chicago Bears?
I think that possibility always exists when you don't have a track record of doing things consistently. And let's be honest, with this team, no one's been consistent enough to say they have a track record. Ben Johnson's a brand new head coach. He just got his first ever win as a head coach. I think what you have to focus on is, are you liking what you're seeing in terms of the process? And Ben Johnson explained it to us. This is what it's going to look like. It's going to take a long time. The team that plays in December is going to be very different from the team that plays in September, and steps will be made. It won't all be linear, but Caleb Williams, what he's shown you, and this is what you got to lean into, Mark, when you say,
in.
Are we there?
Lean back.
We're not there yet, But remember what you saw early in training camp when Caleb was indeed trying to drink out of a fire hose. And remember what you saw on Sunday where he looked like a guy who had command of the pocket, command of everything pre-snap. Because it's like, if you can't get your cadence down, you can't get to the line of scrimmage in time, it's not going to matter. The special doesn't even get to come on display. I think, yes, this could be a false start, but things, as far as Ben Johnson has turned them, have gone exactly as he told us they would go for the offense. Anyway, defense is another story, speaks.
Yeah, oh, yeah. No, let's just focus the conversation on the offense because I think that's what Grody's dealing with and what he's thinking about.
I am dealing with that.
Yeah, you're dealing with it. I feel like this is kind of a backdrop to a lot of sports conversations, but really a lot of Bears conversations that I've been a part of for a long, long time. You're dealing with the organization versus the team.
The now.
And the organizational cynicism, the learned cynicism, or even learned skepticism.
Healthy skepticism, by the way.
Is it, though?
Yeah, it's healthy because of the organization itself.
Okay.
But hold on.
Go ahead. Let me make the point, okay? Because, like, I really do believe that for Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams and a lot of these other weapons and now the system that they're in, you just watched your third data point total, okay? You just watched your third game. That's all you watched. Like, that thing against Jacksonville last year when he's sort of chaotically trying to hold together whatever Shane Waldron crap that he's trying to hold together and he's being more like himself in college and trying to find that, it is completely void of the kind of useful structure he needs to be a great NFL quarterback. Like, at the Mitch thing, that is Matt Nagy and a one-system guy and a different quarterback who's – Mitch is not as talented as Caleb. He's not.
I agree.
He doesn't have the potential. Justin Fields does not have the potential that Caleb does. But none of them, anyway, had a coach married to him as good and modern and ready as Ben Johnson. You gotta, I think, for the sake of your own well-being and logically for the perspective that can help you the most, divorce yourself from that stuff. You just watched your third data point. Now, don't jump out. This is what I'm doing. I can't put my head way out over my skis. I'm pumping my own brakes. You know what I mean? I'm not going to run with that from Sunday and be like, they got it. They figured it out. I'm back in. All right. Woohoo. I'm not running all the way there, but damn, that was fun. I'm letting myself enjoy it. And then I'm seeing, can they build on that? Can they do that against a better defense? Can they do that on the road? I don't know, but just look in this microcosm. Try to divorce yourself from the historical skepticism if you can.
I will. I will try to do that. Part of
it's hard, though, right?
Part of why I'm not married is I don't like divorce. You know what I mean? I don't believe in it.
Okay, that's fair. Nobody likes a breakup. Yeah. Breakups are bad.
Don't go into the marriage.
Yeah, you can't go into the marriage thinking about the breakup.
Being with the fear of divorce.
Yes, I'd like to tell young people, look, if it doesn't work out, you can always get divorced. Like when they're getting married. You know what I mean?
What I tell young people is,
that's
hey,
the little test speech I like to
just
give.
Just like you have insurance for your house and your car, you should get a prenup because you need insurance for your marriage. You don't know what's around the corner.
Is my marriage going to survive working with you two today?
Yeah, it will. We want her sign that okay. You need to have.
She's coming later. But, like, you're already thinking about the divorce.
I am thinking
you
about
You are.
You're right. I should divorce myself from history. Unfortunately, I've seen way too, like I always say, and I know it's a good thing, you know, I've been conscious of Bears games since 1982. I don't know that I've missed a Bears game. I probably have somewhere along the line where I had to miss a quarter or there was a wedding or something while we're talking about that, but I've seen a lot. I've been through all the regimes. Here's the good part. Here is the part that you're pulling out of me in terms of the positivity. Yeah. And I'm not saying that I don't think Caleb can't. It's just the stuff that went through my head after I had way too much sleep. It's good to know.
REM 6 over
see,
here.
See, again, too much sleep is not good either. It's good to know that it is possible. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, we saw what Ben Johnson ideally would like to do in a game. I mean, maybe not ideally because he doesn't exactly have the running game humming the way he wants to.
Oh, man, I think we saw some visions of the ideal. That 19-play drive, the variety on it and the way that he ran it. I mean, like that gives you a little glimpse, but he doesn't have the horses to really do it. He doesn't have the backs to really do it. But Marshall, you feel me on this just being the beginning and, like, being able to see the goodness and just kind of calmly enjoy it and hope that it continues?
I'm completely in lockstep with you because of what Ben Johnson told us, because of his resume, his track record as a play caller. We knew he'd have a few bumps in the road as a first-time head coach, so I was always willing to give him the grace to figure things out with Caleb Williams. My question has always been, Caleb Williams, he is special. Can he do the ordinary, though? I know he can put the cape on and come out of the phone booth and take off, but can he just do the pedestrian things? Can he avoid, you know, throwing the dirt balls? We talk about Caleb Williams and where we are and where Grody's mindset is here on Rahimi, Grody, and Harris with Matt Spiegel in for Layla.
Good luck with the quick reset today.
Well, no. And if you're looking for Layla, she'll be on with Lawrence Holmes later on at 2 o'clock.
Looking for Layla in all the wrong places.
How about we ask our audience members to come up here and do the resets for us? We'll give you the script. Go ahead.
That's a long script.
That is
playing with fire there.
Yeah.
What are we? Where are we? Like Rahimi and Harris with Grody. And also Spiegel,
Matt Spiegel in for Layla.
How dare you, sir? They ditched the with. I am now an and.
Oh, I'm
on
so
show.
Sorry,
Rahimi,
Mark.
Harris and Grody. You know, I was a with Grody. Uh-huh. I was a sometimes Grody.
Hey, man.
Now I'm an and Grody.
I should really be more sensitive to that. Marshall, I was once the in the Danny Mac show. Like, it was basically Mac and Spiegs, but it was just,
The Danny Mac show.
It was the Danny Mac show, so I was somebody
How
in
did that
there.
Work, Spiegel? Did you eventually say, can I just get something up there?
I believe it was year three, and he said, the apprenticeship is over.
Shout out to Dan McGill.
We went to Mac and Spiegs.
Oh, my God.
And that was that.
By the way, by any chance, did you talk on the telephone today with Dan McNeil?
I did not. Did you?
I did talk on the telephone today with Dan. And then he called somebody else that I knew as well. He loves the Bears. That's what I learned from Dan McNeil. He absolutely
loves
the Bears.
A lot of people do.
A lot of people do. Marshall, you feel it, man. This town, it's special.
They're waiting. They cannot wait.
Oh.
They cannot wait. That's been the problem.
But the thing is, like, and this is where I understand where Grody's coming from with the institutional skepticism. The last 2 weeks, oh, boy. Like, the ones before this one, you got Pat Manley coming out going, same old Bears.
Oh, yeah.
That was his first thought after the second game.
I'm trying to tell you, when Patrick Manley was on with us last week, Grody was having Robbie write down the prescriptions he should be taking for his unwellness.
I got him up to 20 milligrams of Lexapro because he was very upset. He said he sounded depressed.
Daily?
He was down. Yeah, 20 milligrams. We started at 10.
You're prescribing for Pat.
Pat Manley. Yeah, well, I got my own supply. But I said 10 milligrams, and then he kept on with the depression. I'm so like, Robbie, let's bump that up.
But that's
10
the
milligrams.
Thing, and that's institutionally based. So it's hard to divorce yourself from it with just 1 week, you know? But, like, but what are we doing? I mean, this is me. Like, people laugh at me and do the whole, like, oh, speaks, good vibes, babe, whatever. What's the choice? I like optimism. I feel better when I'm optimistic. I function better.
But you say that, but I think there's a certain practicality that sneaks in. Like, when you're going through the 10-game losing streak last year, what were you being optimistic about when you saw Matt Eberflus still going out there single week?
Great
good question.
I was optimistic that there was going to be change. That there was going to be change, and then I could get a new regime, and that might work out well.
And
that was hard to trust because of the bosses. And all offseason, it was hard to trust that. But then something happened. Kevin Warren made the McCaskies say yes to $14 million coach and gave him all the control.
So that
was a big change. That's why I celebrated it so much.
I think the biggest change came at the beginning when they're like, you know what? We need to move on from him right now. And remember, there were three people in the room.
Yeah.
Kevin Warren, Ryan Poles, George McCaskey. One of those people did not want to get rid of him in season. Just think about that.
Yeah, it's George,
Yes. Yeah. And the fact that happened, to me, was a big step that allowed all those other things to become.
100%. That's why Kevin Warren gets credit, man. He can drive you crazy on a million things, but if he's the guy that convinced ownership to actually step into the modern world, then that is a win.
That is also why, like, you can be excited about, what is to come. I guess the divorce maybe is starting to occur. Because Ben Johnson is here, and give him a lot of credit, too, for the way he called the game the other day.
Oh, my God. He had a monster game. He was the superstar on Sunday. That was a coach tour de force, the first of hopefully many.
This segment on The Score is being brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
Wow.
It is the Rahimi, Harris, and Grody Show with Matt Spiegel live from the Budweiser Brick House Tavern. We've got Nico Horner coming up at noon. Patrick Manley, we'll see how he's feeling, will join us at 11 o'clock. So that's coming up here in just a little bit. But next, we are going to talk about a gentleman on the defensive side of the football for the Bears, Tyrique Stevenson, who had an excellent game. He was wholly entertaining yesterday during his press conference with the media out at Halas Hall. We will bring some of that back to you and talk about what Tyreek Stevenson obviously means to the Bears. Live from the Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
What is your take on the CNBC report that the NFL's finance committee approved the sale of 2.35% of the Bears, the late Andrew McKenna's share, at a franchise value of $8.9 billion? The sale is reportedly to a current owner of the team. How do you explain reports that the Bears were worth $6.4 billion just a year ago?
Okay, there's a lot there, but quickly going through it. Number one, the McCaskies still own 77% of the team. What this does is it cleans things up in terms of a clean split in terms of there's the McCaskies, and now there's Pat Ryan and his group. So Pat Ryan owns the rest. There used to be Pat Ryan and Andrew McKenna, the late Andy McKenna, who was there for a very long time. And what this does is it makes it clearer where the division is and who owns what. That's a lot of money, though, when you're talking about 2.35% of $8.9 billion. You're talking about around $200 million.
It's a hair under 210.
So you're not really talking about insignificant money here,
God.
Right? So that's what
who's
this
got
move
that laying around?
Formalizes. This is what this makes it more clear cut, the division of ownership, however you want to look at it. Now, it gets messy when you talk about how that 70% of McCaskey's ownership is divided in that family with all of the heirs and all of the family. Now, as for the valuation, I don't really know how it gets. I know we're not supposed to say that, but it's a very complicated process. Maybe we could look into it further. But going from 6.4 to 8.9 in a year, to me, suggests that the Arlington Heights land and the possibility of what that represents in developing that area increases the Bears' worth exponentially. So we're talking about $9 billion franchise now. What this does from a reality standpoint, okay, that's a very arbitrary number. What it does from a perception standpoint, it makes the Bears' job harder to sell the idea that they're going to need public help, because if they're going to go down to Springfield before the end of the calendar year and plea for some help from the government agencies for infrastructure help, for things that might be reasonable, this makes it harder to argue because they have $9 billion, $9 billion franchise, which is a hard for the people at home sitting like, well, why should we pay any extra taxes for them?
Well, the Arlington Heights project is now full go. That's what's happening. Yesterday, there were even renderings released for the project. And the other thing that's interesting with this weekend, Bears in Vegas, maybe you've heard, they're going to play the Raiders in Las Vegas. The company behind the design of the Raiders stadium is the company that released these renderings. So perhaps if you're going out to Vegas, lucky enough to be part of that, and you're going to the game and you take a look around, that might be what you're going to see in Arlington Heights in a few years. It's pretty, again, 205 educated, pretty simple. This is all about a stadium and owning your own stadium. That's why the value has skyrocketed.
Yeah, listen, I think that if you look at all of the television revenue that has gone into the NFL in the last year and all of the new contracts and all of the, you know, different places, the different apps you got to get just to watch the football season, that will help answer how you jump from being worth $6.4 billion a year ago to $8.9. I think once they get that building done, that's when they'll take another leap. And I think if you put the Bears up for sale at 9, you're going to get offers in the 11 range, 12 range. I mean, it's like, it's insane money because only a limited group have it and they can outbid each other. And it's kind of this, who has that kind of money?
Offers? Do you think offers to buy?
I think that, like, who's the guy?
Bezos?
Yes. There's always been rumors about always Bezos rumors. Interested yeah. in mm-hmm. getting into the NFL.
But if you're getting its evaluation at 9, you're selling for 11.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Right now, they're saying that it's worth more than that. And I believe in 2026, they're going to be cutting different television deals still.
Well, they're renegotiating a lot of deals, according to Roger Goodell this week.
Yes.
They're looking into that because of all the money that is at their disposal.
So, it's like, this is not, you know, if you wanted to sell, why sell low?
In terms of sports leagues, there's the NFL and everybody else.
That's it.
That's it.
And everyone knows it. And if you can get 2.3% or 2.5% of one of these franchises, people would be happy to pay.
The brand is strong. Despite the team on the field in Chicago,
that's right.
The brand is very strong. And there was an interesting thing on Vivid Seats tweeted out yesterday about how this weekend's game, Vivid Seats predicts it will be 50-50 split at Allegiant Stadium between Raiders and Bears fans.
Wow. I don't know that there are Raider fans. Not in Vegas.
I think you're right. They're sports fans in Vegas.
Yeah.
The Raiders fans are in Oakland taking Allegiant Airlines and a one-day trip around. That's what they're doing.
That's exactly right.
How you doing?
Jared Payton.
I always feel smarter when I get off the phone with you guys. Appreciate it.
Former NFL running back.
And Payton will hit Pater. Touchdown Titans.
College football national champion.
Jared Payton, one of my favorite teammates because he knew exactly what it was to be great. And we needed guys like him where Walter Payton was his dad. He lived under that shadow. When it was his time to step up, he did.
Sports anchor for WGN.
Yesterday, I had a conversation with Mike Greenberg yesterday. And we were just talking. It was just interesting to me to hear his perspective of where he thinks Caleb's going to be and just the people that he's around. He thinks by the time we get to Thanksgiving, that people will be sitting around their tables at Thanksgiving talking about that we have the quarterback for the future. Like he's here. Like we see it now. So I just want people in their mind to think about that as we, you know, get up to our court towards Turkey Day.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Where's the turkey?
The Jared Payton Show today.
Jared Payton with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We love talking with Jared Payton. He loves talking about the Bears. You can check him out on Channel 9. You can check him out anything NFL, covering it and being around the league. He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino. Have we told you that we're going to Circa? You should go too. CircaLasVegas.com. What's up, JP?
Lawrence Speaks, what's going on? Hey, listen, I know you guys are headed to the airport. I can meet you there. So
come on through.
You know what I'm saying? I'll roll with you. I know, especially for Speaks, you probably need security with all, you know, trying to fight off all the ladies at Stadium Swim. I could be that guy for you.
Thank you, Jared. That's selfless of you, man. I appreciate that. What are you playing? If we're in Vegas, what table game or machine are you playing?
I'm at the sports book, man. I'm not going anywhere. Like, you do, I don't need to go anywhere. I don't even need to be by the pool. I'll watch some games. That's all I need to do. I'm not a really big like card guy or I just like to gamble on sports.
And Jared likes to be in the scene. Like, he would be a star at Stadium Swim. Like, an absolute star.
I don't like when my security people are stars, you know? I mean, I'd like them to keep a low profile, take care of me.
He was just saying that to get on the plane, man. once JP gets off the plane, it's all bets off.
Uh-huh.
I'm excited for this weekend. You guys should have a great time, and And I'll be listening to you guys while you're out there and watching all your social media posts as well.
It's going to be crazy to have that many Bears fans out there. Some of the reports out there are that it might be 50-50 in the stadium.
I think that is accurate. Bears fans travel.
Yes.
And they definitely travel west. Plus, you have all of the transplanted Chicagoans who live in Las Vegas,
mm-hmm.
and the folks that are nearby. They're like, oh, it's a 45-minute flight from Phoenix? Bet. I'm going to go see the Bears because here's my one opportunity this year to go see them.
Yeah.
Or the ones that live in California. Like, this is – the Bears fans can turn this into a home game if they want.
Can't they, Jarrett?
Yeah, they definitely can. I mean, I was talking about that with some people the other day about how well Bears fans travel. And, man, it's a testament to the love of this organization. And you see where all the people are around the country. But, you know, Lawrence, you were talking about just being in Arizona. That's like mini Chicago to me anywhere. I got family out there. Anytime that I roll around, people out there just bear down everywhere you go. So, yeah, this is an opportunity. And just to take advantage of getting back to 500 before the bye.
How did you feel about last week? Because it seems like everyone, you know how it is, Jared, when the Bears win, things are good. Like the city just feels better overall. But seeing all of the things that Caleb Williams is capable of doing play out on the field last week was a lot of fun for me. What was it like for you?
It was cool to be able to watch my favorite team win and play good football. And I feel the pressure just because of, you know, the last name and just my relationship with the organization. And you guys know, I tell you this all the time, everywhere I go around this city, it's the conversation that I'm always having. It's talking about Bears. It's the first thing that people want to talk about. So it's sometimes it's rough. You want to be able to glow about your team and talk, say nice things about your team and enjoy, you know, and celebrate with others. And so that's what it felt like for me. And just, you know, that Monday morning, my daughter waking up and she's looking at me. She's like, oh, my gosh, my teacher said that if the Bears win, she's going to wear her Peyton jersey. So I'm going to wear mine. And so just to see my daughter in her Peyton jersey, it just was like, this is what it's all about. I need more of this. And plus also waking up too and just in the morning and watching that video of Ben Johnson inside the locker room with those guys inside there, just excited for him, Caleb tossing him the ball and how excited everybody was. Those are the moments that I'm looking forward to in the future. And yeah, I had my head in the Kool-Aid that day, but because I want more of those moments. I want to feel that. I want to see that. I want that to be something common and regular for this city and this organization. So I was happy to see Caleb play well. And I know how tough it is for him on a daily basis where a lot of focus is on him. And that it was the game of saying, this is what we're hoping to see between the relationship with him and Ben Johnson as well, that he's starting to understand. He's starting to get it just a little bit more.
Jarrett Payton, thank you for that image of Walter Payton's granddaughter waking up and putting on her Payton jersey the day after that win. Like, that is, because we've been talking about how much better the vibe is in this city when they're good, or even just when they win, like the high fives you get, the smiles, like all the togetherness, and you just added that image to the mix. That's gorgeous.
I meant to text you, JP, on this because I was getting some stuff framed yesterday. And I walk into the place that's framing up some stuff for me. And as I was walking out, I was like, hey, someone's getting a Peyton jersey framed at this frame-up store. And I was like, that's old school. And the guy was like, yeah, this guy, whoever was going to do it was super happy. And I'm like, look at this.
Yeah. That's what happens. What were you going to add to it, Jarrett?
I was just going to add to it that it's special. It's also like walking around and people giving me free, like, blueberry muffins. Like, I get free stuff from the Bears. You know? I look forward to it. I look forward to the free stuff, man. I'm here for it, you know, an extra drink at my coffee spot. Oh, yeah. Happy Bears Monday. Here you go. I'm like, oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Look at that. Bears helping with goodwill and commerce, maybe taking a little bit of a hit, but that's all right. Jarrett Payton with his. All right. So you talked about that coach moment post game that had an impact on us too. Which coach that you had was hardest on you
in a way that benefited you? Because I'm trying to think about that relationship that hopefully Caleb and Ben have.
Oh, man, it's definitely Don Solinger, my running backs coach at the University of Miami. I mean, he was rough. And you guys, you know, before I got there, he had Edgerrin James, who he coached. And then it was James Jackson, who was there when I got there. And then Portis and I came in together. And then it was Willis that came in the next year. And then it was Frank that came in. So we were all there. And so it was tough fighting for a spot and fighting for time. And he just did not let you slip. And as much as you, you know, were coming from the place that, you know, wherever you were from, then you were a 5-star, 4-star, whatever. He just was like, no, you can always do better. And even just the little things, from the way that you study to how much you're studying. And I think that that relationship between Ben and Caleb is so crucial. And I think Caleb needs that in his life. He needs that, especially in when we're talking about playing in the NFL. I think we saw it a lot last year, and through all the reports, right, where he was really kind of, in some ways, teaching himself, not having the right coaching around him. Ben's had to kind of reprogram him and take stuff out that so he can build him up to what he wants him to be and what Caleb wants to be, too. Caleb came in talking about all the championships he wants to win. There's a way of going about that. And I think on Sunday, that's what I was starting to see is him looking calmer inside the pocket. Everybody's talking about his feet, and that's one of the first things that I look at with him is, are his feet set? Are they underneath him? Are they quiet in some ways when he drops back? And is he on point in his 3-step, 5-step, 7-step drop, whatever it is? And then being able to get the ball out on time. And I think that's what we're seeing. But I think it all starts from getting the call in the huddle and getting himself some time to be able to get up to that line and be able to dissect, call out the mic, figure out what he wants to do. And I think that has kind of calmed him down and slowed that clock inside of him down as well. And so that's what I love seeing from him. And yeah, there are some he's inaccurate sometimes, but every quarterback is, and I know people want him to be on point all the time. That's just not, it's not reality, just because of what he's seeing sometimes. But to see that performance and how he distributed the ball to, you know, all these different receivers on the football field on Sunday, that's a really good problem to have. And I think that's what we're starting to see. We know he can get outside and create when he needs to. It's playing within the pocket that I think Ben Johnson is really honing in on to get him better, because that's only going to make his offense better.
Jared Payton joining us. And if you got the opportunity to be on Twitch, you should be. Twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score, because the background for JP is amazing. And I love it when people are on the show and their backgrounds are just, yeah, that right there, the actual Lombardi trophy being in the background to Jared Payton is a pretty dope thing to have. So Twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. JP, correct me if I'm wrong. In 2003, didn't you guys have a crazy long drive with you sealing it against Florida State? Because that drive that the Bears had, that 19-play drive that the Bears had on Sunday, we've been talking about it a lot. For someone that's been involved in stuff like that, what does it do to a defense when an offense can just say, hey, we're going to keep running the rock and we're going to wear you down?
Come on, Lawrence. Why you playing at my heartstrings right here, my brother. Yeah, it was. I was in a situation 2003 at Doak Campbell on that monsoon game. It was my first start and had a chance to score on a screenplay. And it breaks the defense's back, especially when you can run the football and control the game on the ground. And I think just watching Ben play call and find ways to maybe not get those explosive plays on the ground, but to stay with the run on that drive was impressive to me, because I've always been accustomed to seeing here in Chicago with different regimes, different coaches, where it's like, it's not working, we're going to get away from this, we're going to throw a bubble screen, we'll throw a bubble screen, let's figure that out. Well, no, like you have to commit to it. And that's on that drive. It showed me that he was like, yo, we are going to run this thing down your throat and we're going to keep pressing and we're going to find a way to score at the end. And to me, super impressive. I told Mullion Hall Tuesday morning, I had a tear in my eye because it was exactly what I want to see from this offense. And they got to find a way to get better at running the football, and they know. They've been talking about that as well. And to me, it comes down to watching the tape. There are some, as you see with some of these blocking, some of the fits, there are everybody's got to be on point and running the football. And they got to find a way where it's here or there, where there's a missed block here, and then next thing you know, DeAndre Swift's getting, you know, hit in the backfield, which it could have sprung for a bigger run. They're going to have to find a way to be able to watch this film together. Because normally it's like the offensive line watches film by themselves, running backs watch by themselves. If it was me, I would have everyone together to figure this thing out. Offensive line and running backs together to come up with some plan to figure out how we can be more effective. Because I believe in my heart that this offense will open up another level once they can truly control the ground game. If they can unlock that, there's a whole nother part of this offense that we haven't even been able to see yet.
Jarrett, DeAndre Swift can drive me crazy as a runner sometimes. when he's outside the tackles, it's better, yada yada. But let's talk about him as a guy who picks up blitzers.
Yes, sir.
How good is he at that? How difficult is that to do?
It's very, very difficult, Speaks, because a lot of guys don't want to do it. They really don't. And that's the biggest thing that I look at when it comes to my dad. And I have these conversations when I see on social media when they're always talking about who's the best, who's the best. Well, they always talk about who's the best runner. And I always see all these names being thrown in here. And in my head, I'm going, they can't throw the ball. They can't. You never see them blocking in any of their videos. It is a big thing. You have to commit to understanding pass protection, and it's being in your book. And then that keeps you, that's a big part of being in on third down. Can you be an all around back and be in the game and not have to come out because you can be counted on to be able to pick up blitzes? And he's not a big dude. And so sometimes it's all more about will and understanding fits and getting in position where you need to be. And understanding in a game, Speaks, the hardest part sometimes, even for me, learning as a kid who only played, you know, his junior and senior in high school, never played running back, really only one game, and then getting to Miami and have to understand pass protection. It's when everybody's disguising stuff and the mic, you know, you have 60 protection, Mike and Sam, and the mic looks like he's coming, Sam looks like he's coming, but they don't, they bluff, and that safety's coming from the other side. And it's scan protection. You got to find a way to get up and then get all the way back around to pick up blitzes. So it's always tough. And so I always tip my cap to the guys that really hone in on the little things of getting your hands inside and understanding protections. And you're almost like another offensive lineman. So it's very, very difficult. So I tip my cap to Swift for actually being a big part of that. He does drive you crazy. I understand that. but what makes him special is when he gets outside in space, you guys. I mean, when you see him on a screen pass or you see him on a swing and he can get out there and then he does a little stutter step and then gets those yards, that's where he feels comfortable. And I see why he can be a big part of this offense. They're asking for him to – not only asking for him, they're still trying to search and find ways, because you also, let's not forget about DJ Moore being in the backfield as well, Kyle Manungai being in the backfield. They haven't figured out the recipe yet. Hopefully they're still in the kitchen right now looking at recipes to try to figure out the best one to have success.
What do you think of Vegas, and do you know Pete Carroll?
I do not know Pete Carroll. Never met Pete Carroll, but only heard great things about him through guys that I know that have coached alongside of him. They have nothing but great things to say about him. When I look at this Raiders offense and defense, this is a game that the Bears can win. I don't see why you can't, especially coming off of having the success that you had against the Cowboys. There's no reason why. I think my biggest question mark is Ashton Jeanty, as a rookie, still hasn't had that breakout game. And one of the issues that we know with this Bears defense is stopping the run. I'm just hoping that they can find a way to do that. And this is not the game on Sunday that he like has his breakout game against this Bears defense. So if they can find a way to be able to do that, Geno Smith doesn't scare me. He just likes the high volume of throws. I understand that, but it's really stopping the run and making them one-dimensional. If they can do that, I think offensively they'll be fine to be able to score points.
So, Jarrett, would you mind? I mean, you don't have to do it if you don't want to, but if you don't mind, could you reach back and grab that Lombardi trophy?
He did it earlier. He showed it to the people on Twitch.
Well, yeah, when you said it, and I wasn't on Twitch at the time, but now I'm on there, so I guess he doesn't mind. Yeah, it's like, so that's your pops? Because every player gets a replica of it. Is that correct? How does that work?
Yeah, each player gets a replica. This is my pops. My pops actually has two of them. So I think between my sister and I, we both have one. But yeah, this is...
Wow.
I mean, it's heavy too, you guys. I can only imagine what the big one feels like, because this one is like... I mean, if someone came in this house and I hit them with this, it is over. I'm just telling you, it is over.
That would be the coolest murder weapon ever, though, dude.
Like self-defense.
Self-defense.
Not like, murder.
Jared.
Self-defense.
He killed a guy with a Lombardi trophy. How cool is that? I mean, that's badass.
JP, we love you, man. Thank you so much for jumping on and sharing with the people here on Twitch.
Hey, love you guys too, man. Have fun in Vegas. I'll be listening and I'll be watching.
Thank you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.